Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and today we have a program that might not be appropriate for younger ears, but it's definitely one to listen to and to share with your teenagers, that's for sure. Many of you have no doubt already talked to your teens about the many reasons to save sex for marriage. And on today's Family Talk program, Dr. Dobson, we're going to present some groundbreaking research that I know will provide the scientific support for that advice.
Well, Roger, that's why I hope we have a huge audience of parents listening to us today, because we're about to provide some vitally important information that every mom and dad needs to know about. In fact, it's not just for parents. Singles also need to hear this discussion, because so many people have been caught up in the culture's foolish notion that there's nothing wrong with casual sexual encounters.
Indeed.
All of that goes back to the 1960s, when the sexual revolutionaries began saying, if it feels good, do it.
Right, right.
And they repeated the lie that as long as you're both mature adults and you both agree to what you're doing, there's nothing wrong with casual sex and no one will get hurt from it.
Right, what a lie.
But nothing could be further from the truth. We're going to hear a conversation that I recorded with my two good friends, Dr. Joe McElhaney and Dr. Frieda McKissick-Bush. They're both OBGYNs who described the groundbreaking research that shows how scientific evidence supports the wisdom that God laid out for us in Scripture on the topic of sexuality. It's all right there. And in fact, these doctors discuss these findings in their outstanding book, Hooked: New Science on How Casual Sex is Affecting Our Children. And by the way, I also included a discussion of this topic in my book. I quoted generously from the two doctors I've named in my book, Bringing Up Girls. It's in a chapter called Consequences, and that title was given to the chapter for very good reason. Choices do have consequences, and some of them can be lifelong in their implications.
Today, Dr. Dobson, there are many people out there who are listening right now who have been torn apart by their pasts, or maybe they're even having issues in their marriages right now because of some of the mistakes they made so very, very long ago. Now, if that's you, I really hope you'll stay tuned to the program today, because there is a lot of practical help and hope for you.
And God is in the business of restoring and healing. The Bible tells us that He can restore the years the locusts have eaten. So this is a message of hope and encouragement, no matter what mistakes have been made in the past.
Exactly. And now, as a reminder, this is not a conversation for younger children. So if you are listening in an on-demand type of mode, this is where you want to pause and make sure your kids are doing something else before you continue listening. Otherwise, let's go ahead and get into it right now, Dr. Dobson. Let's jump into the conversation just as you introduce these two distinguished guests today on Family Talk.
We have two physicians here to help us discuss that subject. They have written an amazing book that is entitled Hooked: The New Science on How Casual Sex is Affecting Our Children. One of the authors, Dr. Joe McElhaney, has been a great friend of mine for more than 20 years, Joe, I think. Can you believe it's been that long?
No, it seems like such a short time.
McElhaney is a board-certified OBGYN, and he's been practicing medicine since 1967. In 1992, Dr. McElhaney founded what was then called the Medical Institute for Sexual Health, and it's now just called the Medical Institute, which is a nonprofit medical research organization. Dr. McElhaney's medical degree is from Baylor University, and he's written or co-authored 8 books, including the one that we're going to talk about today. Dr. McElhaney has been on this broadcast dozens of times. Joe, I really wonder if you remember in the 1980s, we once recorded 9 radio programs in a row.
That's right.
In one day.
I didn't know what I was getting into. You said, are you ready for your life to change? And believe me.
It turned it upside down, didn't it? Well, I thought it was a good
idea. Thank you. I think you've been used by God in my life in a major way.
You thank me. Yes, what a contribution you've made to our listeners out there. There have been folks, especially those who are probably 40 or older, who have heard all 9 of those programs and about 15 others that we've done. I don't know why we chose to work so hard that day. It sounded like a good idea at the time, but I don't think I'd want to do it again. We're not going to do it today. Let's put it that way. And Dr. McElhaney is married to Marion, and they have 3 grown daughters and 8 grandchildren. The co-author of this book called Hooked is also here, Dr. Frieda McKissick-Bush. She is also a board-certified obstetrician-gynecologist, and she has a private practice in Jackson, Mississippi, and has since 1993. And she also serves on the clinical faculty at the University of Mississippi Medical Center in the departments of OBGYN and family practice. Her medical degree comes from that school. She and her husband, Lee, have been married for 40 years this July, and they have 4 grown children and 7 grandchildren. We had a nice chat in my office. You said that we met once before at President Bush's inauguration.
That's correct. I wish
I could tell you I remember that, but it apparently occurred.
It did occur, and we have a story to tell about coats.
Your husband got my coat,
yes.
And I got his. Except I'm a little taller than he is, right?
That's correct.
Well, thanks for coming to be with us. Now, we got a lot to talk about because this book is loaded with scientific information that has fascinated me because I'm into that subject in my book on girls that I'm writing at this time. And we're covering some similar information, so this is going to be fun for me to check the facts today. But let's do begin. When you talk about, well, actually, you title the book Hooked. Are you referring in a subtle way to the hookup culture? Is that where that comes from?
I think we really are, because if there are people listening that don't know what you mean when you're talking about the hookup culture, kids in college particularly talk about hooking up. Mm-hmm. And when you ask them what that means, they say it means anything from kissing to actual sexual intercourse. But yeah, we're talking about that, and the new science about the brain shows that there is actually an emotional and psychological hooking up that occurs when kids are involved physically with each other.
Hmm. That's what you mean by the new science on how casual sex is affecting our children.
So it's not really just the fact that they're physically hooking, but they are emotionally hooking. So the play on the word hooked is emphasizing the emotional attachment even more than the physical.
You refer to this understanding as a new science, and it certainly is. I mean, Joe, you and I didn't know of this scientific information when you first started coming to talk about the consequences of sex before marriage, did you?
No, we really didn't, Jim. It's the new technology. The only thing we had back then were CT scans, which used radiation. And, of course, radiation would damage kids' and adults' brains if they repeated over and over again. And what this new technology allows us to do is to look again and again and again at young people's brains because MRIs use magnet. PET scans use a different technology, and they don't hurt. So they can keep repeating these things to see what's happening in the brain.
And so what we are discovering is that this attitude of just, they call it the hookup culture, where it's a one-night stand, or maybe it's repeated, but it still doesn't have great meaning and is not intended to last for a lifetime. You do that over time or even a few times, and it changes the wiring of the brain, and it will be that way from now on. Is that an accurate assessment?
That is. Sex is more than just a momentary physical pleasure, but it actually has powerful responses in the brain. And that's one of the reasons why you remember that first sexual act, is because it imprinted with the dopamine on your brain. And years later, you may have memories and flashbacks of those experiences.
And dopamine is a neurotransmitter. It's a hormone that wires the brain a certain way. There are three of them you talk about in here, dopamine, oxytocin, and a vasopressin.
Right.
And those are the three particularly that link the brain up a certain way and change it.
Yeah. May I talk about how this works in marriage? Because I think it might help clarify it for people to understand exactly what we're saying.
Please do.
When a couple are attracted to each other and then marry and then have sex, dopamine is released into both of their brains, and it's a reward signal. It makes them feel really good, makes them want to repeat that procedure, that sex act again and again and again. Well, that can produce children. Mm-hmm. Children need a mother and a dad. We have good studies, and you above all people know this, that both of you, that kids do best when they have a biologic mother and father in the home to raise them. Well, when people are skin to skin with each other, a mother and a dad are skin to skin, the woman secretes oxytocin, which bonds her to her husband. The man secretes vasopressin, which bonds him to his wife. And it's for the purpose, at least one purpose, of being there together to raise those children. So you have this wonderful mechanism going on that bonds people together.
Divine plan, any way you want to slice it.
That's right. Makes them enjoy each other sexually, have children. And that's the basis of what we are as a society, is our families and our homes, raising healthy children, then to repeat that whole thing later on. It's just a phenomenal
And so
mechanism.
The kids who get into sexual activity when they're really just out of childhood and experience that casually are robbing from that mechanism and changing it. And in fact, the ability to bond is influenced by that, right?
That is correct. It's like you're rewarded by the dopamine for an exciting activity, sex being one of the most exciting, but dopamine rewards you, period, for exciting behavior. So, for an example, driving fast. When you drive fast, that dopamine is secreted, makes you want to drive faster in order to repeat that behavior. And after a while, you begin to consider driving fast as normal because the connections in your brain have been strengthened for that. And the same thing happens with the dopamine reward for sex. Whether you have a relationship with the person you're having sex with or not, you will find yourself chasing the dopamine high and not the relationship, and not considering the consequences of STDs or pregnancy or even bad relationships. You're chasing the high.
And then, the bonding that is normal for a married couple who are staying together year after year after year gets broken. You have a kid has sex, breaks up. And that bonding mechanism that would happen with oxytocin, vasopressin gets destroyed. The bonding needs to be reinforced. And that is really the connectedness that's a part of what we are as human beings, that very important connectedness ability that allows us to connect to our husband or wife or to friends gets hurt and destroyed, which probably is a reason that when people have had multiple partners before they marry, they're more likely to divorce, because their ability to connect to that marriage partner has been hurt by past sexual experiences, and they don't bond as well.
Yeah, and it's safe to assume that this very well might be related to the high divorce rate.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there's no question that this mechanism we're talking about, I'm sure there are lots of other reasons, but this mechanism we're talking about right now, where people can no longer bond to each other and connect, which is a vital part of what we are as human beings, it's been destroyed or at least damaged, keeps them from actually connecting for the long term with their marriage partner.
And one of the examples that we use in the book has to do with the tape as an analogy of the attachment. Mm-hmm. And so anybody knows if you put a Band-Aid on the first time, it sticks very well, and you go to pull it off and it, you know, rips, it hurts. But then if you reapply that Band-Aid after a while, the Band-Aid loses its ability to stick, and it's really of no value at that point.
The scientists of the past 20 years, the evolutionary anthropologists, say it's normal for people to have multiple sexual partners. Girls go out and have sex until they find the alpha male to father their kids that has the best genetics. Our research, and we show that in this book, shows that human beings are designed to have one partner for life. It flies totally in the face of all this research of these past years. The National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy has done studies that show that more than 60% of kids that have had sex wish they had not started having sex yet, and other regrets that they have.
Mm. Dr. Bush, talk about safe sex ideology that's taught in, if not all schools, most of them, and what they are taught there and what that term implies.
Well, if we think of sex as only a physical activity, then it is reasonable to consider that you would make it safe, preventing the sexually transmitted diseases or the teen pregnancy. So safe sex would be referring to the use of condoms to be used each time with each sex act and or contraception so that you avoid pregnancy. But if you consider, number one, that the whole person is involved, that there are emotions that are involved with it, then you don't have a condom or a contraception that covers the emotions. And so there are problems that come as a result of that. And we do have studies that show that girls who are sexually active are 3 times more likely to be depressed, and boys are 2 times more likely to be depressed, and boys are actually 8 times more likely to attempt suicide, even if you control for all other reasons that they might be depressed. So we know there is a definite emotional component that is attached to the sexual act.
And from what I am reading, that depression is linked to some of the terrible behaviors and some of the consequences that occur in adolescence having to do with anorexia and bulimia and cutting behavior. Mm-hmm. And addictions to various drugs and alcohol and many other things are linked to the depression, which is linked to casual sex or the hookup culture.
And that's why this book is so important, because we're saying it's not just a physical act when you're involved in sex, but it is a complete person that is involved. But you have actually the in totality of the person involved. And unless you consider that, then the young people will be blindsided by the problems that will occur as a result. I think another thing that we should point out here is what the definition of sex is. It's not just vaginal penetration, but it's any activity that stimulates you to arouse you for sexual satisfaction. That's whether it's with another person or whether it's self-stimulation. It's still like tape that's going to glue you to that other person. And you can get sexually transmitted diseases if you participate in those non-penetrative activities.
So the mind and the body are influenced.
That is correct.
Yeah. I think that all through the late 60s, 70s, and 80s, the message was we can have sex whenever we want to, with whomever we want to, however we want to. I think this
with
was
no consequences.
With no consequences, exactly. Plus, there is a sense on the part of human beings they want to be free to do whatever they want to do, and this feeds into that.
One of the things that we need to point out here is this book's target is what we call parents and caring adults. Now, the medical community, the academic community certainly can embrace it, but our target was parents because they are the ones who have the greatest influence over their young people, whether they realize it or not. And so we felt like instead of only talking to the teenager. Let's go to the person who has the most influence and can help guide their young person to make healthier decisions and guard and protect them by providing boundaries that are reasonable for them as they are navigating these adolescent years.
Well, that's where we're going with this discussion, and we're running out of time, and I definitely want to come back to that issue, because you have specific suggestions for parents for how they can help their teenagers and their young adults understand the impact of this casual approach to sex. Since we have so little time, let me ask another question, and then we'll get to that one, the one I just mentioned, next time. You mentioned, Dr. Bush, the definition of sex is confused in the minds of many young people. Some of them do not even define all kinds of sexual activity short of intercourse as being sex. I hate to say this, but I think Bill Clinton did that to us by saying that what he did with that woman, Miss Lewinsky, was not sex, but it was.
And my point is that if it's not sex, then tell me, why do the studies show the same areas of the brain are stimulated, the same hormones are reproduced, and you get the same feeling of satisfaction? So if it stimulated your body and it was pleasurable and arousal, it's sex, and it does transmit sexually transmitted diseases, i.e. sexually transmitted.
Of course.
That's right, and it does mold the brain. Those things, you can see the brain molding happening. One interesting aspect of that, Dr. Dobson, is that if they do scans of people who are lusting, that area of the brain shows up separate from the area of the brain that shows love. So a girl, for example, who has a guy hitting on her, can't tell whether he's coming on to her for love or for lust. And the only thing that tells the difference is time. So our warning is to young women and young men, take time when you're getting involved in these relationships. Don't get involved sexually, because it changes everything. It's such a powerful impactor on the brain.
I referred to it earlier when we were talking as the tender trap. Yeah. There are hormones that make you feel the way you feel, and that it's never been like this before kind of feeling that you get when you think you fall in love with someone is indistinguishable between that and a lifelong commitment that Shirley and I enjoy after 49 years.
Exactly. You know, the brain studies show it's like obsessive compulsive behavior. It is obsessive compulsive behavior.
And hormone-driven.
Hormone-driven, exactly. And also the positive message for our parents that are listening to this is that every study we've seen, and we've looked at a lot of them, shows that kids respond to their parents and are guided by their parents for behavior more than anything else, more than peers or anyone else in their lives. So even when they're sitting there giving you that dumb look while you're telling them what they need to be doing or what they ought to do, they're hearing you. And they respond to what you're guiding them to do better than anything else in their lives.
If I can add to that, the studies that I've seen show that the mother is even more influential than the father in this decision,
exactly.
Whether or not to have early sex or not.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if the mother disagrees with the child using contraceptives, disagrees with her having sexual intercourse, and tells them that, the kid is much less likely to be involved in sex than if she sort of hems and haws.
Even though that girl will get mad at you for saying it.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you understand that if the parents don't talk to them about it, then they have no way of knowing what their parents' values are, their ideas are. So we would definitely encourage them not just to have a talk at a certain age, at 12 or 13, but have this conversation all along the way, what your expectations are, including involvement in sexual activity. Let them know you want them to wait, and to wait for an appointed time, instead of saying just when you're ready, because when your hormones are surging, you're ready then. But you need to let them know that what that time would be that you would have according to your values and your ideas.
Well, we've been talking about the book Hooked, New Science on How Casual Sex is Affecting Our Children by Dr. Joe McElhaney and Dr. Frieda McKissick-Bush. And this is an outstanding book. We're going to talk some more about it next time, but it is just loaded. I think I heard 250 scientific references that support this book, and yet it's written so that parents who don't have a medical background can understand it. And thank you all for writing it. And the program went by just too fast. Let's meet again, can we?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
Well, the time did fly on by, didn't it? I'm Roger Marsh, and I hope you found this Family Talk conversation as fascinating as I did. If you want to go deeper, you can find all the research in the book that these two doctors have co-written. It's called Hooked, New Science on How Casual Sex is Affecting Our Children. And you'll find that book and other great resources to help you talk to your child about sexual issues on the website that they mentioned, medinstitute.org. And we will also have a link to that site on the broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org as well. Thanks for listening. And don't miss the rest of this important and encouraging conversation with Dr. McElhaney and Dr. McKissick-Bush. That's coming up next time on Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.